ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ विश्वं विष्णुर्वषट्कारो भूतभव्यभवत्प्रभुः भूतकृद्भूतभृद्भावो भूतात्मा भूतभावनः। आलोकगीता द फर्स्ट वर्स्। आर् यु आल् थरो विद् आल् अदर् वर्सस्? ज्ञानश्लोकस्? फर्स्ट् ॐ विश्वं विष्णुर्वषट्कारो भूतभव्यभवत्प्रभुः भूतकृद्भूतभृद्भावो भूतात्मा भूतभावनः। एक्चुलि हियर् आफ् आल् द वर्ड्स् here we have 1000 names of Bhagavan in this whole stotram, and each name needs to be unfolded, and all the words, the 1000 names stand for innumerable countless words. Sahasra namani upalakshanam, only it stands for innumerable countless words. Innumerable countless words means all the words are Bhagavan's names only. All the words are Bhagavan's names. That's why Bhagavan's, one of the names of Bhagavan is Anantanama. Anantanama means one who is of countless names. Endless names. Why? Because every object is Bhagavan, everything is Bhagavan, therefore every word denoting everything is Bhagavan's name only. So all the words are nothing but vowels and consonants put together in different order. A word is nothing but vowels and consonants put together. In different order. If you split the word, what will get you only vowels and consonants? And vowels and consonants which you write are the forms, are the sounds. Forms of the sounds. If you write any letter, you write A, you write E, you write U, you write O, or Ka, Ga, or Ta, Ta, Pa. Any letter you write is what? Is a form, form of the sound, expressed sound. Any letter written is an expression of the sound. Any letter is a form, the expression of the sound. Therefore, all the words are nothing but different vowels and consonants sounds put together in different order. If we take all the sounds, all the vowels and consonants which constitute the words, and the words which constitute the sentences, the word which convey the idea, so any idea conveyed is in the form of sentences, and from sentence, the sentence nothing but words, the words are nothing but vowels and consonants. Vowels and consonants are nothing but sounds. You have to see that way. So idea conveyed is in the form of a sentence. A sentence every sentence is nothing but words put together in proper order, and the word is nothing but vowels and consonants put together in proper order. Vowels and consonants are nothing but sounds. Sounds which have sthanam, which have sthanani, which have their own place of origination. And those places of origination of sounds, places of origination of sounds are known as sthanani. And we have five main sthanani, five main places of the origination of sounds. We say gut. That's why those sounds are classified into five groups as gutturals, kantyaha. Kantaha means kantaha, when you say it's a gutter, a throat. Kantya. Kantaha, neck, throat. Kantaha means throat. Kantya means anything pertaining to throat is kantya. So, a is what kantyaha. I want to start with omkara. That's why I want to go properly today onwards. So, kantya. So, a sound produced, the source of the place of origination of the sound a is the kanta. Therefore, it's called kantyaha, a. And the vowel a is a kantyaha. Then ka, ga, ka, ka, ga, ga, na. All these five sounds we say kantyaha, gutturals. And the final nasal sound, na, is a kantya, but it's a guttural nasal. The nose also involved along with the gutter. The first guttural nasal is a na. Ka, kha, ga, gha. Four kantyaha. Then, guttural nasal is what? Na. Of all the vowels, kantyaha is a. A is a kantyaha. Kantya. Want me to text you? Kantya. Okay. So, kantaha, throat. Kantyaha means these sounds. Kantyaha swaraha. Or you can say kantyaha varnaha. Kantyaha varnaha means sounds having the gutter, the throat as their source of the place of origination. Kantyaha. Then we have palatals. Talavyam. Talavya. Taluhu. Taluhu means palate. Taluhu, palate. But talavyaha, palatals. So the sounds which belong to or which have talu as the sthanam, the letters which have talu as the sthanam are known as talavyaha, palatals. Taluhu, palate. Palatal is what talavyaha varnaha. Talavyaha varnaha. So varnaha means color. Varnaha also means talavyaha. So there you have to use this cha, 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 ja, ja. Cha, cha, ja, ja. You properly want to pronounce, you have to use your talu. Now come on, key without moving your talu, say cha, 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 ja, ja. You can't say properly. Cha, cha, ja, ja, nya. It goes, isn't it? It goes like this. With talavyaha. So taluhu, let talavya. anything pertaining to talu is called talavya. But here, talavyaha palatals. I mean, the sounds which have palate as their sthanam. So, talavyaha. And the last one, nya. Nya, write in English, in any Roman letter, you can't write. Very difficult. Nya. You can't write because there's no equivalent. Translation is very difficult. Nya is a palatal nasal. Nose is also involved there. Sthanam. For nya. Nga, then nya. So here, what a vowel? E. 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 If you say, E is actually palatal vowel. Gutturals. E. E. Palatal. So two vowels, palatal vowels. Then you have cha, cha, ja, ja, nya. They're all palatals. Then if you take third, Murdhanyaha. The Murdhan, actually Murdha is an akaranta shabda. Murdha means actually head. So much is there for a lot we have to learn today. Murdha means head. It's an akaranta shabda. So murdhanya, murdhanyaha, we call them cerebrals. Why cerebrals? Because you have to fold the tip of the tongue, and the tip of the tongue should touch the upper palate. Only then you can pronounce certain sounds. So those sounds which have the upper jaw, actually upper the palate and that upper jaw, those sounds which have the sthanam, they're called murdhanyaha. So murdhanya singer, murdhanyaha plural. Murdhanya, murdhanyaha varnaha. Cerebrals. Now you try this. Ta. 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 Da. Da. Ta. Da. Ta. Ta. Da. Da. For all the sounds, you have to really fold the tip of the tongue and touch the upper. Yeah. Ta, ta, da, da, na. It must touch. But then you're pronouncing correctly. Ta, 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 da, da, na. Also, na. In Tamil, we say moonu solina. Na, na. That na, na. How will differentiate? People don't get correct pronunciation. The tip of the tongue should touch the upper jaw. It is ta. Upper jaw should be touched. Ta. How can the tongue touch the upper jaw? Folded. The tip of the tongue will be folded. It must touch the upper jaw to pronounce these sounds. Without folding the tip of the tongue, touching the upper jaw, you cannot pronounce ta. Try. You cannot. That's why it's ta, ta, da, da, na. Even if you do Hadi English literature, you learn phonetics, this is what they teach. But we have so many letters, so it's easy to start learn here than in English language. So we call them, cerebrals. Na, na. If your tongue is, tip of the tongue is folded, and if it's touching the upper jaw, then nasal sound you're making is n, n, t, t, d, d, n. This sthanam. Sthanam differs. That's why in pronouncing sounds, two factors are involved. One is sthanam, another one is prayatnaha. Prayatnaha, effort. Sthanam, place. Which we, Panini Sutra Minhadi, first thing we have to learn is sthanam, varnanam, sthanani, prayatnaha cha. You have to learn that. The next. So, kanthyaha, talavyaha, murdhanyaha. Then we have dantyaha. See, dantaha means tooth. Dantaha. Dantaha, tooth. Danta kurchaha brush, toothbrush. Danta, okay. Dhavanam, brushing. But now, dantaha, tooth, dantya. Dantya, anything pertaining to the tooth or the teeth is what dantyaha, dantyaha. So the play, the sounds which are connected with the teeth, which are associated with the teeth are known as dantyaha. So, to pronounce these sounds, the tip of the tongue must come close to the teeth, touch the teeth. The tip of the tongue folded and touching the upper jaw, we get the cerebral sounds. The tip of the tongue is folded. If it touches the teeth, then there you get these sounds. Ta. Not everything. The tongue must touch the teeth. If you try without touching the teeth, try. Kaida must try. You will not get ta, I'll say. The ta has to convince the tongue should touch the teeth. Ta. Try without touching the teeth, you will not get it. Ta. Because this is, it is a, you must have thorough understanding here itself. No learning afterwards. Ta. Ta. Da. Da. So prayatna is different, isn't it? Ta. Ta. Da. Da. Na. Here also have a na. But this is dental nakaraha. So dantyaha nakaraha. Then murdhanyaha nakaraha. Murdhanyaha means na. Dantyaha, na. We have to teach, don't get correct pronunciation. Anybody can get the correct pronunciation if they know what is the prayatraha involved, what is the sthanam of the given sound. Ta, tha, da, dha, na. Definitely tongue touches this, touches the teeth. So, dantyaha, now dantaha tooth, dantaha teeth, but dantya, dantya, dantyaha, singular, dantyaha, plural. So, the sthanam, the place of the sounds associated with the given place in the mouth. There, dantyaha. Ta, tha, da, dha. Then, along with this, the nose also is involved. Nasal, dental. Is what now? Na. tathadadhana. The nasal is called anunasikaha. Anunasikaha means what? The sound apart from its own place, which also involves nose, is called anunasikaha. Na, nya, na, na. All the final letters are called anunasikaha. Nasals. Anunasikaha varnaha. Nasal let sounds. So, ta, tha, da, dha, na. Dentals. Now, finally, we have the lips have to come together. Only then these sounds can be produced. Both lips have to come together. Ma, yeah, pa, pa, ba, bha, ma. So, labials. Unless two lips come together, these sounds cannot be produced. So, sthanam, the place involved, the place in the mouth involved in pronouncing these sounds are lips for the labials. And what is lip in Sanskritam? Oshtaha. Oshtaha means lip. Oshtaha, one lip. Oshtau, two lips. So the sounds associated with lips as the place. So, the sounds associated with the lips are known as oshtya. Oshtaha, lip. Oshtya. Anything pertaining to oshta is oshtya. So here the sounds associated with the lips are oshtyaha. Oshtyaha. Labials. So what are they? Pa, pha, ba, bha. And finally ma is a labial nasal. So like we have sthanani. So kanthyaha, talavyaha, murdhanyaha, dantyaha, oshtyaha. All these places. And the final vowels for the final consonants are known as anunasikaha. Along with their respective place, the nose also is involved in pronouncing them. Therefore, they are known as anunasikaha. In nasals. Now, so pa-pa-ba-bha-ma. Now we have these semi-vowels. Not vowel. This ya-ra-la-ba. They are called semi-vowels. Ya-ra-la-ba. In ya, ikara is there. In ra, so ya is a palatal. Of the semi-vowels, again, you have to see which is the sthanam. Ya is a palatal. Ra is a cerebral. Ra is a cerebral. La is a dental. Ba. That's a dental. Ya, ra, la, ba. Ya, ra, la, ba. Then we have sibilants. Sibilants are the sounds which have hissing sounds. Which involve hissing sounds. They were sibilants. Sha, sha, sa. There, sha is a palatal. Sha, shanti, shakti, shivam, shubham, shankara. The sha is palatal. So, shanti, you want to say palatal means what? Sha, 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 sha. It'd be correct in pronunciation, in pronouncing it. Sha is a palatal. then sha. For sha, sha is a cerebral. Because the tongue has to be folded to say sha. Whereas sha, you need not fold the tongue. Sha, sha. Sha, sha. Whereas sa is a dental. Sa, because for Saraswati sa, the sa has to come, the tip of the tongue has to come very close to teeth. Sa. Sha, sha, sa. Palatal, cerebral, dental. Even these three sibilants, you can put them under the, come under the category of these only three. Sha, palatal, sha, cerebral, sa, dental. Finished? Sha, sha, sa. Sha, sha, sa. Then finally, Mahapranaha. This ha is called Mahapranaha because you have to say, is it? You have to take a long breath. This is called Mahaprana. To say ha, you have to take a long breath. It's called Mahapranaha. Ha. And the ha is also guttural. Ha. Ha. Then kshatra. Ajna, those three are actually conjunct consonants. They're not just simple one consonant, conjunct consonants. In the ksha, there is a guttural sound and there is syllable sound. Ksha. In tra, ajna. Okay, those we leave. Okay. Like this, we have this sounds. So, sthanani prayatnaha. Why prayatnaha, prayatnaha, the effort also is different. In ka, kha, ga, gha, na, na. Sorry. Ka, kha, ga, gha, na. So prayatnaha is different. Sthanam is different. In the letters. Therefore, these are the sounds. Now, all these sounds of any language also can make out. Based on the place of utterance, you can suppose English, in English language, if you say K, where is K? K is what? K means, you just write only K, just write only that letter K. Actually, guttural. T. Cerebral. You can make it now. Now, all the sounds of all languages in the world can be classified like this. So gutturals, palatals, cerebrals, dentals, labials. There's no sixth sthanam. Only include was anunasikaha, nasals. Nose is involved. Apart from the five places, there's no sixth place where sounds are produced of all languages of the world. So panchasthanani, only five places associated with the sounds. And all the sounds are within all the vowels and consonants. You want to bring them to it as a one sound. So take one vowel first. Akara is a guttural. Is a guttural. And consonant. A vowel, consonant is a labial. So between one vowel and a labial, cerebrals, dentals, and palatals are in between. So all the sounds are within this And you round up your lip to say oo. Round up your lips to say oo. So, a, o, three sounds actually stand for all the vowels and consonants produced, or all the vowels and consonants consonants associated with these five sthanani, five places. And if you form, get a sandhi, akara, a plus u is o. Therefore, om is one single syllable. A syllable is that which consists of more than one sound. So three sounds, two vowels and one consonant, three sounds constitute one syllable om, and its om stands for all the vowels and consonants, all the possible sounds, vowels and consonants produced in five places. Kantaha, Taluhu, Mudha, Dantaha, Ushtaha. So we say Kantyaha, Talavyaha, Dantyaha, Mudanyaha, Dantyaha, Ushtyaha. So Om stands for all the sounds. All the sounds stand for all the words. All the words stand for all the objects indicated by the words. And all the objects constitute the whole cosmos. Therefore, Om stands for the whole universe. Om stands for the whole universe. This I explained in our Mandukya class. This I explained in every time I taught you mantra, any mantra. I explained this Om, one of the meanings of the word Om. So, let's say, Om itself, we call Om a sound symbol of Ishvara. Why Om is said to be the sound symbol of the Lord? Because Om is a monosyllabic expression which stands for the whole universe, symbolizes the whole universe. And the whole universe is Bhagavan. Therefore, Om stands for the whole, is a sound symbol of the Lord. And one more meaning is, the whole universe is what? Power manifest is the universe. Ishvara Shakti manifest is the universe. The power of the Lord, the reality, manifest is the universe. The universe is nothing but manifest power. Which is, manifest power is called knowledge. The manifest power is called knowledge. The whole universe is power, manifest power. Our manifest is the whole universe. Therefore, whole universe is manifest Shakti, manifest power, which is knowledge. And the source of the power is Ishvara, the truth. The source of the power is the truth, and the power of the truth manifest is the universe. And the source of the truth, the source of the power, the truth is meant by the word Purushaha. The power of the truth, power of the truth is known by the term Prakritihi. So Purushaha and Prakritihi are what? The source of the power is known as Purushaha. The truth or Ishvaraha, the source of the power is known by the term Purushaha. The power of the truth, the Lord Ishvaraha, is known by the term Prakritihi. Purushaha and Prakritihi. Here Purushaha is a masculine gender word. Prakritihi is a feminine gender word. So the words are in two different genders. But Purusha does not have any gender. Prakriti doesn't have any gender. Okay? Please understand. Purusha, the truth does not have gender. The power does not have any gender. But the words, the word Purushaha is a masculine gender word. Prakritihi is a feminine gender word. This is a big problem, okay? Confusion. People have big confusion. What is Purushaha? Who is Purushaha? The source of the power, the truth, otherwise given the name, title, Ishvaraha, the Lord, is meant by the word Purushaha. The power itself is meant by the word Prakritihi. So power does not have gender. The truth, the Lord does not have gender. But the word implying or meaning the source of the truth, Purushaha, is a masculine gender word. Prakritihi, meaning the power, is a feminine gender word. So Purusha and Prakritihi are looked upon as the mother and father of the universe. Why? This Prakriti is looked upon as the material cause. Purusha is looked upon as the efficient or the intelligent cause. Purushaha nimitta karanam, Prakritihi upadana karanam. Even though they are seen as two different causes, they are not separable. The source of the power and the power, the source of it, the power is inseparable from its source. The power is inseparable from its source. The truth. So the truth, the source of the power is inseparable from its power. That's why inseparable. The Purusha and the Prakriti are inseparable. The Purusha and Prakriti, as intelligent and material causes of the universe, are seen as inseparable mother and father of the universe. Now, so the source of the power, the truth, meant by the word is Purushaha, is actually pure consciousness. And the power of consciousness, power of consciousness manifesting is the universe. And the power is said to be in it. And the source of the power is the consciousness. Therefore, the power manifest is the universe. Therefore, please understand, I'm coming to the point. The power manifest, there's power unmanifest. There's the power manifest as the subtle universe, the power manifest as the gross universe. So the unmanifest power.
Swamini, why do you call power is said to be inert?
No, of the nature of inertness. The power is said to be of the nature of inertness means that it does not know its own existence. Therefore we say, because it doesn't have independent existence, it is mithya. Okay. I'll come to the point of, even the power manifest is knowledge, isn't it? Yes, that's why finally we say there's no inertness, the only knowledge. We're going to see that. The very important lesson here. Because Omkara, I have to explain that. Let me tell you now. So you understood everything, Purusha, Prakriti, consciousness and matter. Let me tell you now, this power unmanifest is symbol Akara. No, we say Akara, Ukara and Makara. So power manifest as the grass universe is symbolized by Akaraha. So the power manifest as the subtle universe is symbolized by Ukara. And the unmanifest power . So the Makara stands for unmanifest power. So Makara stands for unmanifest power. Ukara stands for subtle the power which is manifest as subtle universe. And Akara stands for the power which is manifest as the gross universe. Your Akara, Ukara, Makara, all three sounds actually stand for unmanifest and the manifest powers. So Makara stands for unmanifest power. Ukara stands for power manifest as the subtle universe. Akara stands for the power manifest as the gross universe. Therefore, unmanifest, manifest power of the reality or Ishvara, are meant by the three sounds, Akara, Ukara, Makara. That is why, if you put Akara, Ukara, Makara in different order, Om put in different order is what Uma. That's why Parvati is known as Uma. Understand? Parvati stands for power. Why Parvati is called Uma? You know that? Not Ummachi. Okay. We teach children Ummachi. Bhagavan, when you show, you know, Tamil language, they say Ummachi Kumbuda Namaskar Manu. We show Bhagavan as Ummachi. That's different. But Uma is the name of Parvati. Why? Because Parvati symbolizes the power. And Uma is another name for Uma, Parvati. Om put together, Om put in different order is what? Uma. Shaktihi. Uma is equal to Shaktihi. What Shakti? Unmanifest Shakti, manifest Shakti. So Vyakta Shakti, Avyakta Shakti. All Shakti, okay, the total power put together is what? Uma. A-U-Im. Put in different order. U-Im-A. Uma. Now, when you say Om, in between two sounds, Om, 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 there is silence in the gap, isn't it? That silence stands for the source of the power. So Om stands for power, and the silence follows Makara stands for the source of the power. Om. When the Makara ends, there is silence. That silence stands for the source of the power. It is invisible, imperceptible consciousness or knowledge. Pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Therefore, Om is a sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. So there cannot be power without its source. There cannot be Jagat without Bhagavan, the source of the power. Therefore, that's why Vishnu Sahasranama, the first Om Vishwam Vishnur Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhoya Bhavat Prabhu. I given two meanings of the word Om. I'll give you one more. That's what we say Akara stands for. This one we have, I taught you in Mandukya class also. So avati iti om, another meaning. Avati is a verb which means protects. That which protects, that which sustains is om. So Bhagavan as a truth sustains the whole Jagat, protects the Jagat, therefore om. The third meaning. I'll have some how from avati you get the om, how om is derived from the root of avati, that I'm not telling you because you need certain grammar knowledge for that. So I will not tell the time being, I will tell you gradually. This is how om. Therefore, all 1,000 names stand for, Upalakshanam, means 1,000 names actually imply, 1,000 implies innumerable, countless words denoting innumerable, countless objects. Therefore, all the objects are the Lord, the words indicating the objects are all names of the Lord. And the 1,000 actually stands for that countless words. And all of them are brief. In a nutshell, person is Om, which is a sound symbol of the Lord. Okay. When I say avati iti om, when I say the clay, now mrit ghatam avati. Mrittika ghatam avati means what? The clay protects the pot. How does the clay protect the pot? If the clay is removed, pot will disappear. So what is it which sustains the form, name and function called a pot? It's the clay. Therefore, with reference to the pot, clay is avati. Clay avati. Clay protects. For similarly, with reference to the whole Jagat, including time and space, that which lends existence, thereby protects the whole Jagat is Om. Okay. This is the meaning of the Omkara. Now we'll see Vishwam. We'll go to Vishwam. And what is the Bhashman? What Bhashman? What Bhagavan is said to be the universe, because Bhagavan as the truth being the cause of the universe. Bhagavan as the truth being the cause of the universe is known by the word Vishwam. Well, because the universe is inseparable from the very truth. So the word Videhi Pratyehi Gamyate Iti Vida Pratyeh Gamyam Vishwam. Pratyayaha actually means cognition. The cognition expressed is what? A word. So Vishwa also means all. Therefore, the whole cosmos is called Vishwam because the whole world is cognized. So cognition stands for words, and words constitute, stand for the objects. Objects constitute the universe. Therefore, the very word Vishwam itself is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the intelligent cause of the universe. Bhagavan is the material cause of the universe, because power is of Bhagavan. The source of the power is Bhagavan. The power is also Bhagavan. The whole universe is Bhagavan. Therefore, the universe, the word universe, the Vishwam, indicating the universe, is one of the names of the Lord. Vishwam. Then, one meaning it is. Then, there's a root Vish. From that, you get the verb Vishati, Pravishati. Vishati means what? Enters. And the truth as the cause has already entered and pervaded the effect. The clay has entered and pervaded the effect called pot. Similarly, the Bhagavan as the truth has entered the effect in him of the universe, pervading the universe. Vishati asmin jagati iti Vishwam. So Bhagavan has entered into everything, means Bhagavan is there, you know, the truth of everything. Now, all the forms resolve, all the words resolve, then all the functions resolve in the very truth when they become unmanifested. The forms, names, and functions which are manifest, when they become unmanifest, means they resolve in the very truth, which is Bhagavan. Therefore, also Bhagavan is called Vishwam, that in which everything enters into, everything resolves at the time of Pralaya. Therefore Bhagavan is called Vishwam. Okay. The next word. Vishnu, I send you 1,000 names, one word meanings. Have you seen that? That is for you to keep it, okay? Just not to forget it. That is simple. But here we learn elaborately. Vishnu, how do you get this word Vishnu? You can say, Vyapnoti Sarvam Iti Vishnu. It's also all pervasive, means Veveshti, Veveshti Vyapnoti Iti Vishnu. Again, this also comes from which root? You see, Vish, Vishati enters. Same root again, bring it now. Vishwam, Vishwam, we are going to Vishnu. So Vish itself is what enters. Enters means also pervades. Pervades means what penetrates, pervades, permeates everything in the world. Even though the truth enters, Vishati enters, pervades, permeates everything. The truth pervades even time and space. Truth pervades even time and space means the time or space or anything which exists within the realm of time and space does not exist, cannot exist without the truth. Therefore, the truth by itself is free from all limitations, spatial time limitations. Therefore, we say Vishnu means all pervasive, means it pervades time and space. Also, all pervasive doesn't mean only all pervasive. The word all includes time and space. Pervades time, pervades space, pervades everything which exists within the realm of time and space. Okay, therefore, literally, you can literally say Vishnu means all pervasive. But how do you get this word all pervasive? Veveshti means pervades, vyapnoti. Veveshti means covers. That's why veshti means that which covers is veshti. Okay, not dhoti. Veshti, Tamil, no? We say the dhoti called veshti. Tamil language also we say veshti. Veshti katra. Why veshti? Hamskar the word, okay? Pudikido, pudikido, hamskar the word. Not Tamil. Do you use the word veshti in Sri Lankan language? Tamil language? Veshti? Veshti thundu. So veshti is Sanskrit word. Which means which covers. So veveshti. So veveshti, when you veshti, that which covers, but veveshti, that which penetrates and permeates in and through. Therefore all pervasive. It pervades everything, means pervades in time and space also. Pervades time and space also means time or space cannot exist outside of the truth, which is Bhagavan. Anittam vyapitavanna, it implies, it means what? Also time and space. That's why Vyapnoti iti Vishnu Veveshti Vyapnoti. This Shankaracharya says Desha Kala Vastu Paricheda Shunyaha, that which is free from time, space, object limitations. Okay. Next, Vashatkaraha. Vashat karaha, like akaraha, ikaraha, ukaraha, we say kara to any sound, isn't it? See, Tamil, when you say right akara, right a, what is it? Avanava yelde, ilanava yelde, abhinartha. Not a, there's no avanna, evenna, okay? Avanna, evenna means akara, a, e. Let that in the instead of akaraha, ukaraha. Let that vashat karaha. So, Vashat Karaha means, Vashat is expression. Vashat is expression. It's a technical expression. And this is used when the ritual is performed. Vashat is a technical expression used or uttered during the performance of rituals. And karaha is a, actually an affix, suffix. So the, please be careful. The word pratyaha means cognition. The word pratyaha also means affix or suffix. So karaha, when you say the kara, kara, kara is actually a suffix. So when you add this suffix kara to the expression vashat, a technical expression, used in the, during the performance of rituals, you get this expression vashatkaraha. See the word vashatkaraha. Vashat, vaushat, etc. We say when the fire ritual is performed, of course, this ghee, mainly ghee is offered as an oblation. And depending upon which ritual is performed, the oblations offered also become different. When the oblation is offered into the fire, and then the mantra is chanted, end of the mantra, and they say this vashat or swaha. Om Agne Swaha, Vayave Swaha. Like that vashat also used depending upon which ritual is performed. And when it is offered, it also means what? It is offered unto you. What is offered unto you is not mine. Even though I offer it to you, O Lord, actually it is not mine. It does not belong to me. It is not mine. Actually, it is yours. So for which we say, ma na idam mama, na idam mama. Or na idam mama. Na mama idam. This is not mine. This doesn't belong to me, O Lord. When you offer, when people, the priests offer, they do say, na idam mama, mama idam na. This is not mine. Then, but they say, vashat swaha. Now, vashatkaraha means, so the devata, so many devatas, different devatas are invoked. The grace of different devatas are invoked through the performance of ritual by offering oblations to different devatas. Suppose if we say Vayavya Yaga, then Vayu is the devata mainly invoked. Vayu's grace is invoked. Suppose sometimes we specially invoke the grace of the Agni Devata. Sometimes we invoke the grace of some other deity, some other natural phenomenon, but Devata. Therefore, whenever any ritual is performed, invoking the grace of given Devata, then for that Devata, is vashatkaraha, which means the one to whom the oblation is offered. The devata to whom the oblation is offered, uttering vashat. The devata for whose sake or to whom the oblation is offered, uttering vashat is called vashatkaraha. So vashat itself is an expression used in the performance of rituals. But vashatkaraha is a word wherein the word vashat has this affix kara, and vashatkaraha stands for what? The devata, any specific devata to whom the oblation is offered is called vashatkaraha. And here the devata for whose sake or to whom the oblation is offered, the devata is Bhagavan. For vashatkaraha, Bhagavan is the vashatkara. Vashatkaraha is equal to devata. So vashatkaraha is name of Bhagavan, means what? Every devata, every natural phenomenon, whose gaze is invoked through performance of rituals, uttering Vashat, is Bhagavan. Every Devata is Ishvara. Ishvara is not a Devata. Okay? Ishvara, as the truth, is not any of the Devatas, but every Devata is Bhagavan. All the Devatas are Bhagavan. And the Vashatkaraha actually indicates Devata. Why Vashatkara indicates Devata? Because Vashatkaraha actually stands for the one to whom the oblation is offered is Devata, Vashatkaraha. And Bhagavan is the name of Vashatkaraha. Vashatkara is Devata is Ishvara. Ishvara is not Devata. That's why it is said, Yad Uddeshena Adhvare Vashat Kriyate Sah Vashatkaraha. Yad Uddeshena Yare Uddeshit Velvihil Samagrihil Koduka Padihindanavo Avarukku Peru Vashatkaraha. Devatikku Peru Vashatkaraha. Devatai Vashatkaraha. If Vayu Yaga is done, and Vayu is Vashatkara. If Agni Puja is done, Agni is Vashatkara. So the given Devata to whom the oblation is offered, uttering Vashat is known as Vashatkaraha. And here Bhagavan, Vashatkara is Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not any of the Devatas. All the Devatas are Bhagavan. I'm going to stop the class now.